Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 36 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking a lot of high school wrestling today as the wrestling season wrapped up last weekend with the state tournament at Wells Fargo Arena. In a little while, we'll be talking to both of Ankeny's state champions, Trevor Anderson and Caleb Rocci. They became the first pair of Ankeny teammates to win state titles in the same tournament since 2003. But right now, we want to talk to the coach who guided that duo to the top of the awards podium. He just completed his sixth season as the head coach of Ankeny's program, and he guided the Hawks to an 11th place finish in Class 3A, their best finish since the split into two high schools. He is Jack Wignall. Jack, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thank you for having us in today.
Oh, you bet. Certainly well-deserved. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season. Did you go out and do anything special to celebrate your first championships the other night?
No. Actually, much like today, my drive down was a little rough, and my drive home Saturday night was even worse.
I bet.
So I think it took me an hour to get from Ankeny to back to Ames, so it was pretty rough. So nothing out of the ordinary. It was tough to settle down, though, I'll tell you that, when I got home.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, I know your goal was to place in the top 10 as a team, and you finished just 3.5 points shy of reaching that goal. But I don't imagine, you lost any sleep over that, did you?
No. That's one of the things that my assistant coaches, Austin and Derek, and I talked about, that, being 3.5 points away from our goal to get into the top 10 was a little frustrating. But on the other side of that, what we came out with Caleb and Trevor winning it, and then Sam getting seventh was a pretty good consolation prize.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's talk about your two state champs, Trevor and Caleb. These two guys finished with almost identical records this year, but they're completely different wrestlers in terms of their style. So let's start with Trevor. You've told me before that his opponents, who haven't seen him before, have a hard time dealing with his style. So how would you describe his style? He's kind of a counterpuncher, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And I've told you many times that he's the coolest wrestler that I've ever coached. And that includes time with Coach Ewing and as time as a head coach. He just takes everything in stride. It's really incredible for a kid that's that young to have the composure that he does in every single match. I know that before his quarterfinal match against Ryder Downey at Indianola, from Indianola, he was nervous. He was nervous for that one. But we got through that. I knew he was going to be okay because before his semifinal match, we were over at Hy-Vee Hall, and he kind of fell asleep on the mat. So I knew he was in a pretty good place after getting through that quarterfinal match.
Well, going into the state tournament, Trevor probably deserved the number one seed at his weight, but he ended up getting the number three seed after a draw. But based on how he wrestled, I don't think he really cared about the seeds, did he?
No. And even before they started seeding the state tournament, the mantra has always been amongst people and coaches that you got to win them all to win it anyway. So it really didn't matter to us where he was on that bracket. I felt coming into the season and after the performance he put on at Independence that he could win it. And he was wrestling with some of the best kids across the state, and they didn't have an answer for him. He lost to Carter Fausick there and avenged that later. But I just knew at that time that he had the potential to win it.
Well, Trevor didn't have a single close match at the state tournament. He outscored his opponents by a 39-6 margin. Now, he had already defeated his opponent in the finals, Jace Rhodes of Mason City, two times earlier this season. So what was your confidence level going into that match?
It was high, but it's a little nerve-wracking. That took so long to the introduction of the state tournament, and we were on the mat probably 15 minutes before Coach Gable got out there and Sebastiano got out there, and we were just watching that whole thing, and it just took forever. So although my confidence was high, because I know his was, it was still nerve-wracking to have to wait that amount of time to get the wrestling going.
Well, after winning a title as a freshman, Trevor now has a chance to join that exclusive club of four-time state champions. And I know you coaches, never like to look too far ahead, but, you've got to believe that he has the potential to accomplish that goal, don't you, if he can stay healthy?
Absolutely. I think there's some luck that goes along with that. You got to stay healthy. And, you know, gosh, you know, from what we've dealt with the last 4 or 5 years with our wrestling team, that's not always a given. So staying healthy, he's got the skill set. He's got the work ethic. He's got the support behind him from family, friends, coaches. And, you know, absolutely, I think he can get it done.
Let's move on and talk about Caleb now. You know, how would you describe his style as a wrestler? He just kind of goes out there and imposes his will on people, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a hammer. It's so much fun to watch him snap people to the mat. I don't think they really expect it. You know, you look at the different build of Caleb and Nick Oldham, and Caleb can snap him through the mat, and he's done it, and it's fun. It's fun to watch.
It is. Well, like Trevor, Caleb pretty much cruised into the finals in dominant fashion before finally, you know, having a close match against Oldham in the finals. Caleb got an escape in the third period and then held on for a 3-2 victory. He defeated Oldham for the fourth time this season and avenged a loss in last year's final. Now, even though it was a close match, you know, and Oldham could have won it, you know, with a takedown there at the end, you know, it seemed like Caleb pretty much, you know, had things under control. You know, were you worried at all there when Oldham was desperately trying to get one there at the end?
No. You know, I think with 15 seconds left, Caleb got hit for stalling going out of bounds. If that would have been Romello Gray, I would have been a little worried because he got hit with stalling twice in the first 15 seconds of a match. But Caleb has enough mat sense and is smart enough that I knew that he knew to grab a hold of wrists and circle, and that's what he did. I want to take a step back for a second, though.
Sure.
A couple of things that you said about Caleb. And you know, Trevor, both of these guys, they lost a match at Independence. And all they did after that was Trevor went on a 36-match winning streak, and Caleb went on a 37-match winning streak, and Caleb went on a 36-match winning streak. And to me, that's pretty amazing. You get beat in the first tournament of the year, and then you don't lose another match, period. The thing with Caleb is I don't think enough attention has been brought to him, the fact that he beat Oldham 4 times in a season. I would like to go back and look at some things to see if any wrestler's really ever done that. I know Drew Bennett from Fort Dodge and Kyle Biscaglia from Waukee, when they were seniors, they faced off a lot, 2-3 times. And Bennett always beat him in the regular season but couldn't get it done at the state tournament.
Hmm.
You know, as a coach, you know, you hope maybe to split with a kid. And to go out and beat the caliber of wrestler that Nick Oldham is 4 times in 1 year is really, really amazing.
Well, of course, those were only Oldham's only 4 losses were to Caleb.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That tells you how good he is.
Yeah, somebody asked me that. They're like, well, Oldham only has 3 losses. Are those really all to Caleb? I said, yeah. That was before the finals. So another stat that I found amazing with Caleb was that he had only given up 2 takedowns the entire season. That was to the only loss that he had, and that was to Cale Happel from Lisbon, the first tournament of the year. Now, I can't take credit for that stat. His dad told me that today. So I'll give him some credit for that. But I did go back through and look at Caleb's matches on track today, and sure enough, those were the only 2 takedowns he gave up the entire season, which is incredible to think about.
Well, I know he had told me that that Oldham had never taken him down in any of the previous 3 matches, so he wasn't too worried about him, you know, taking him down in the finals. I can imagine why.
Yeah. He had a little bit of confidence going into that. You know, I think Caleb wrestled pretty conservatively. I think he'll mention that probably. Conservatively doesn't mean without attacking or just letting your defense go by the wayside. What he had to do defensively throughout that tournament and especially in the finals was pretty amazing with a kid like Nick Oldham.
Oh, yeah. Well, after Caleb won, he ripped off his headgear and slammed it onto the mat. He told me that he hadn't planned on celebrating like that. You know, were you surprised by the emotion that he showed?
A little bit. I think he was, too. But I loved it. You should be excited at that point. I actually thought Trevor would be a little more excited than he was. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. That's how you should act after you win a state title. It's a big deal. And you know, I not that we have to bring all this up all the time, but Caleb always seems to be a match short of the things that he wants. State title, Fargo last year. He's lost some matches at like the Agony in Ames and the year before over in Iowa City against the best kids. And, you know, he broke through that barrier last Saturday night.
Sure.
And I had mentioned this to Trevor, too. I think him beating Fausick in the Battle of Waterloo to avenge his only loss was a turning point in his season. I think at that point he really believed, finally, that he could win it all. And it's funny, in that match, with 7 seconds left, Fausick's riding him on top, and for no reason, no explainable reason, he backbends Trevor, and they call it potentially dangerous. 7 seconds left in the match. And if that doesn't happen, he probably doesn't escape because he was riding him so hard. But he gets a restart and gets the reversal with 7 seconds left. And to me, that was a real turning point of believing that he could win it. Sure. I knew it before that, but I really think that was a turning point for him.
Now, you talked about on Saturday night how you guys had to wait around for Trevor's match, and it was a little nerve-wracking. But it had to be nice, though, for you that these guys wrestled fairly early in the evening compared to some of the other ones. I mean, can you imagine being the coach of a heavyweight and having to wait 3+ hours for the match that night?
Austin Anderson and I had a good talk yesterday. He was up in the weight room. It's hard to get away from the wrestling room, so he was up in the weight room. I was up in the wrestling room after school. And he goes, I am so glad we had two early matches. There is no way I could have waited that long, 220 or heavyweight. To have to wrestle, that would have killed me.
Well, and you probably got a chance to enjoy some of the other matches then since you were done, didn't you?
A little bit. We went up into the suite where the Andersons and the Rachis and Coach Ewing had a suite up there, and so we got to exchange a bunch of hugs and high fives and tears, and then I went down and into the stands and sat with my family, and I was sitting next to my wife, and I said, well, I think the adrenaline's starting to wear off, and I got really tired, so I wasn't able to focus on a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
But I was still going back to those two matches, and actually the whole week, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, was just so much fun for us as a coaching staff, and I know for our wrestlers, even the ones that didn't place. I know they had a great time, and really they wrestled well. I don't feel like anybody really went there and laid an egg. They wrestled really well. Our last two tournaments of the year, districts and the state tournament, I thought we wrestled phenomenal. I mean, our kids were healthy finally, and were fresh, and they got it done. I was really happy with our performance.
Well, you told me during the tournament that sometimes, coaches tell their wrestlers, to watch out for so many things that they go out there and they don't really wrestle their match. Now, with these two guys, is it almost the case where the less you say, the better, because you don't want to screw them up?
Yeah, absolutely. But the only thing I say to Caleb is, hey, watch that reshot. And with Trevor, just be a hammer. Just keep doing what you're doing, Trevor, as you alluded to earlier in this interview, you said that Trevor tends to be a little more defensive, and he is. One of the things that we would tell him, Trevor, don't let those guys get to your legs so easy. And, I guess we don't know what we're talking about because he didn't want a state title.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now we can't talk about wrestling in Ankeny without giving a shout-out to your crosstown rivals from Centennial. They placed third in the state duels tournament and fourth in the traditional tournament with three state runners-up. The Jaguars had a great tournament too, didn't they?
They really did. They did. And you know what? They lost some guys early that I don't think they expected to lose. And they still got fourth. So that's a pretty good tournament for them.
Well, I saw some comments on Twitter about how good, Ankeny would be if it was still one team. And you can go down the lineups of both teams and see that it would be a very formidable squad if you took the best guys from both teams. Do you think a combined squad, could compete with the Southeast Pokes and the Waverlys of the world?
That gets thrown around a lot. I know so on social media it did. I honestly, I don't go there. I just don't. Our schools were split, and I like the guys that we have. I think we have a great thing going, and I really try not to think about the what ifs of that, just because it is not going to happen, and, right. and you know it is over with. So I really try to stay away from the what ifs within that. You know, I really do.
Well, and your team obviously had a few down years following the split into two high schools, you know, but the split did give some opportunities to some kids who otherwise maybe, you know, wouldn't have been wrestling on the varsity. So one thing I was thinking of was, you know, maybe all these good wrestlers wouldn't have, if there was just one team, maybe there wouldn't be this many good wrestlers.
That's a real possibility. Although I do think the kids that are in the club, I mean, I have to thank the club for what they do. There's not a better standalone club. And when I say standalone club, it's a school club as opposed to a Seabold or a High Altitude or Elite. So a school club like that, it's amazing what they do for our kids and how they've trained them over the years. There is so much coming through our program right now that it's astonishing. So, but you're right. There might not have been those opportunities for kids. Although there was a picture put up on Facebook during the state tournament, and there were 18 kids in that picture, and it was probably 5 or 6 years old. And as you look in that picture, there were 5 eighth graders or below. So those kids weren't even eligible to get into the state tournament. There were 9 state qualifiers and 4 state finalists in that picture.
Oh, wow.
And that happened to be some dual team, I think, dual tournament that they wrestled in as a club. So when you say, you know, those kids might not have a chance, that's true. But the kids that have really stayed the course with the club and bought into what Topher Ewing and Mitch Mueller and those guys coached early are the guys that we see down at the state tournament, you know. These two guys, Caleb and Trevor, Sam Callum, Derek Anderson, Logan Niels, Eric Owens. There's a reason those guys are there, because of what our club did and the fact that they've all committed to wrestling. It's a really, really cool thing to be a part of this.
Sure. Well, I know you'd like to give a lot of credit to your assistant coaches as well. I know Brian Sharp was just named the middle school coach of the year. You know, how important was he in the development of these two champions?
Oh my gosh. What he does as a middle school coach is incredible. There are teams, and when kids are at an elite level like these guys are, they won't even wrestle in eighth grade. These guys were leaders for Coach Sharp. They were good in the room. They were good to the kids that were in the room. And for Brian to be able to bring these guys along and with the other kids that maybe hadn't ever wrestled before, his ability to mesh those things is priceless. It really is. We were, I can't remember if it was, I think it was before the district tournament, we were sitting around. Coach Sharp has some things that he says and does that the kids never forget. You know, he whistles and he says, anyway. And so we were sitting around talking, and I said, what do you guys think of him? And there wasn't a kid in that room that didn't say they loved him. I mean, it's a really special thing to have Coach Sharp lead the eighth and ninth program and then be a part of our high school program. There's just so much you could say about him. So.
Well, and you mentioned your assistants, Derek and Austin, earlier too, and I've been amazed at the passion and intensity that you know, those two guys have brought to the program. You know, they've really poured their heart and soul into the program, haven't they?
They absolutely have. I know that first couple years that we struggled so hard. I know that Austin, that second year was there, and he said, "I'm gonna coach for you." He goes, "I want to get this back to the way it was when I started, or when I was in high school." I said, okay. And he has fulfilled that promise to me. It's so cool, because I was an assistant for Coach Ewing when Derek and Austin were just little kids. I mean, it's crazy. And to see what they've grown into and how they handle kids like them, when they were in high school is amazing. You know, I don't have any sons. I've got six daughters. I don't have any sons. So that's the balance for me in my life is the wrestling and the wrestlers. But it's also having guys like Derek and Austin that I helped bring up through the high school program to be a part of that. It's like having sons. I love those guys and what they've given back to this program the last 3 or 4 years is invaluable. And it's not my wrestling team, it's our wrestling team, and they put as much work into the success of our program and our kids than anybody. I couldn't ask for better guys.
When you mentioned Coach Ewing too, I noticed that he got out there and was actually sitting Matt's side at a couple of your matches during the tournament. You know, was that his idea or yours?
Oh, that's definitely mine. I think he would prefer not to do that, but I try not to give him a choice.
Yeah.
When we were at the CIML, I asked him if he would help us out too, because that's a crazy tournament. So that's where I kind of finally got him in a chair. And then I told him that with qualifying six kids and kind of how we were grouped together weight-wise, that I wanted two coaches in chairs when we were coaching. And I said, I need you for one kid, you know, to have two coaches in a chair. And kind of reluctantly, he did. I know deep down he loves to do it and he wants to do it, but I have so much respect for him, because what he doesn't want to do is come in and try to overshadow what we've done. And I tell him, I said, you're not doing that. Everybody loves the guy. They know what he represents. And they love having him, because he'll come in the room once a week. So he knows the kids. And he knows wrestling, and it is so cool to see him coaching in a chair. That is for sure.
Oh, it was, yeah. Well, let's briefly talk about next year a little bit with the two state champions returning, along with seventh place finisher Sam Callum at 132 pounds and some other varsity regulars. You know, you have to feel good about what next year's team can accomplish.
Absolutely. Kale Cox is one. He just finished his sophomore year, hasn't been a state qualifier yet, but he's won over 60 matches and hasn't been to the state wrestling tournament. We insert him into the lineup and, you know, we know what we're going to get with him. We're going to get 30 plus wins a year. And hopefully, these next couple years, he can, get to the state tournament and really make some noise. We have some good kids coming back. You know, we had a lot of injuries early on. I think there was a point where we had six or seven varsity guys out of the lineup. So, as frustrating as that is, it also gives, some of our JV guys opportunities to step in and, you know, let's see what they're made of. And that happened, you know, Colby Bales wasn't really in our lineup, but I knew that he had a lot of, passion he was always going to give us 100%, and man, he ended up having a pretty decent year. Having these guys back and Kale Cox in there, and we have some ninth graders that we'll be able to put in the lineup next year, and probably some eighth graders. You know, athletics, and not just wrestling, but athletics becomes a numbers game, and we've always struggled to get, you know, 23 kids out for eighth grade wrestling. Well, we had like 49 or 50 kids out this year.
Oh, wow.
And so I fully expect some of those kids to hop in the lineup next year. We feel good about next year and how that's going to work and going into that stuff. And guys like Mo Watson and Nick Shirley and Cole Pomeranke, you know, those guys, they've shown us that they want to be there. Daniel Rose, Caleb Goldner. So, yeah, I feel good about the experience that our kids. I was going through our letter winners today, and we lettered 20 kids this year. Part of that was injuries and getting kids in there. But when you have an opportunity to get in the lineup and letter, that's a big deal, and that's going to help us the next year.
Well, I understand Trevor's got a younger brother that's coming up too. Is he pretty good?
He's all right. No, he's really good. I think he maybe he struggled with a little bit of a back injury this year early on from football, and it took him a while to get healed up. And I know he lost a match when he came back, because I don't think he was in shape yet, and I don't think he was really all that truthful about his back bothering him. So he lost that match, but. He's a stud. He's going to, hopefully get into the lineup. We'll see where all that stuff fits when we see how these kids grow and what's going to happen. But yeah, he's tough. And we probably have 12 or 13 kids that were wrestlers in the club that will be freshmen next year. That's a lot. I mean, the previous 5 years, it was one, maybe two kids that were club kids coming through, and to have 12 or 13 club kids come in next year, we're really getting poised to make a run at some things, I feel.
All right, Jack. Well, congratulations again on another outstanding season. Thanks again for coming in.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office here closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders in communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, my next guest was the state champion in Class 3A at 106 pounds. He compiled a 42-1 record as a freshman. He is Trevor Anderson. Trevor, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, huh? Well, like we talked about with Coach, you know, you drew the number 3 seed before the tournament, even though you had pinned Ethan Wood Finley of Iowa City High, who got the number 1 seed. You know, what was your reaction when you first saw those pairings?
At first, I was kind of mad, but then I realized, like Coach Wignall said, I have to beat everybody to win it, so just went out there and wrestled.
Well, you did not allow a point in 3 of your 4 matches at the state tournament. You know, is that one of your goals going into a match, to not give up any points?
Not really. My objective is to score as many points as I can, and if they score more points on me, then so be it.
But. Sure. Well, like I mentioned earlier, you defeated Jace Rhodes of Mason City for the 3rd time this season in the finals. Now, Rhodes had knocked off Wood Finley in the quarterfinals. You know, so were you surprised to see him in the finals?
Actually, I wasn't. I thought he'd beat him because Jace is a really good wrestler, but. And he was seeded 8th because he got hurt, but I knew he'd probably beat Wood Finley. But.
All right. Well, you had defeated second-ranked Aiden Riggins of Waverly Shellrock 12-6 in the semifinals. You know, looking back at it now, do you kind of feel like maybe that match was the one for the championship?
Yeah, but Riggins, he's a really good wrestler too. But, yeah, me and him both kind of got stuck on the same side, which was big controversy on social media and stuff. But, yeah, it probably should have been, but.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate for him.
Yeah.
Not for you so much, but. Well, after you won the final match, you know, like Coach Wignall mentioned, you kind of nonchalantly walked off the mat. You really didn't have an exuberant celebration or anything. You know, is that just kind of your demeanor, or is that because you just expected to win?
Well, Jace is one of my good friends, and I've known him for about a year now. He was one of my roommates and during the summer at Fargo, and I just helped him up, and it wasn't necessarily overconfident. It was just I burned all my energy after celebrating after the semifinals. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you maybe didn't kind of want to rub it in his face then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, before your match, I sat down next to your grandma, Jackie Frisk. We were both mat side as we were taking photos, and I wished Jackie good luck, but I told her that I didn't think, you know, that you needed it, and she said she didn't think you did either. So we were both pretty confident that you were going to get the job done, you know. Now, did your grandma get some good photos of you?
Yeah, she always does. I think she takes too many, though.
Yeah. Well, she helps us out sometimes. We really appreciate that. So did you do anything special, you know, later that night to celebrate?
Well, we had to try and get home first from all the snow, but then we went to Applebee's and stuff and ate, and then I went to sleep because I was tired.
I'll bet. Well, like Coach mentioned, your only loss this season came to Crestwood's Carter Fauschick, the eventual Class 2A state champion, and that was at the Independence Tournament. So that was a close match, obviously, because you got the that was the first match. So how close was the first match with him?
It was 8-4, but I tried something at the end, which gave him a takedown, but it probably should have been 6-4. But, yeah, it was a close match.
So what was he able to do, you know, the other people, you know, haven't been able to do against you?
Well, he's just really good at getting the legs and scoring points. And that's what a lot of kids do. But, yeah, he's just really good at it.
Well, then you did avenge that loss 2 weeks later at the Battle of Waterloo. And that was the first time that you'd ever beat him, right?
Yep. He'd beat me like 4 or 5 times before that.
So that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Well, Coach mentioned that that's a turning point for you. So did you feel like at that point then maybe that, you know, could you see a state championship in your sights?
Yeah, I kind of realized, like, Carter's a really good wrestler. He's beating a lot of good kids. So if I beat him, then I can beat the other guys too. So that was kind of my motto.
Well, now coming into the program this year, you know, as a heralded freshman, how much did it help you to have someone like Caleb, you know, to lean on since he had already been through the wars, you know, as a freshman last year?
Yeah, it was helpful because he's been there and he went to the finals last year and he's familiar with it.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach about your brother Jace a little bit. Now, he already weighs more than you, right?
Yeah, he's kind of the bigger little brother.
Now, does he wrestle a style similar to yours?
It depends on who you ask in my family, because my dad will tell you he does dumb stuff, but yeah. Well, I think he does good stuff.
Well, hopefully you two won't be competing for the same spot next year then. Now, you could certainly put on some more weight, you know, before next year. If you had to guess right now, you know, what class do you think you'll be at next year?
I don't know. I'll probably be at 113, I think, but it all depends on stuff.
All right. Now, you also play soccer, right?
Yeah.
So have you always played both sports then?
Yeah, I used to play baseball too, and I let that go because it became too much.
Do you think at some point you may decide to focus just on wrestling, or at this point do you plan to keep playing both?
I keep playing both. Soccer helps me with a lot of running, conditioning, just keeps me in shape and gives me something to do.
Sure. Now, I know you have a lot of time to figure out, you know, where you're going to go to college, but have you started to hear from some colleges?
Not really, no, but I've just been, now that wrestling's done, I've been focusing on soccer too.
All right. Well, that was a pretty cool moment at the state finals on Saturday night when Dan Gable got out there, you know, and did the countdown with the crowd. Now Gable may have been a little bit before your time, but I'm sure you're well aware, you know, of the legendary status that he has in this state. When you were growing up as a young kid, you know, did you have someone that you idolized like a Gable or a Kel Sanderson?
I always liked Tony Ramos and Thomas Gilman because they were just the dudes that went out there and beat everybody's butt.
So are you a Hawkeye fan then?
Yeah, I'm a Hawkeye fan.
Yeah, I can see by your sweatshirt there.
Yeah.
Well, Coach talked about, you know, what a unique style of wrestler, you know, that you are. Do you pattern your style after anyone?
Not really. When I was a kid, though, I never used to take a shot, but I've eased into scoring a lot more points now.
Well, I'm sure you'll be doing, you know, a lot of wrestling in the off season, and I know you want to continue to get better. You know, what are some things that you feel like you need to work on to keep improving?
I tend to dive into my shots a lot instead of setting them up, but that's probably what I need to work on.
All right, Trevor. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, my next guest was the state champion in Class 3A at 126 pounds. He compiled a 41-1 record as a sophomore. He is Caleb Rocci. Caleb, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, we talked earlier with Coach about how you celebrated after your win. You slammed your headgear to the mat. You know, did you get much reaction, you know, to your celebration from other people?
You know, people ask me, like, why I did that and stuff. And, you know, it's so much emotions running through me after that match, after, you know, falling short last year to the same kid. And there was just so much emotions that they just kind of took over, and I just did whatever. So,
well, you certainly weren't the only one that did that. There's a lot of guys on the finals that did that. I mean, you have to. I mean, you know, only so many guys can win a state title. So. Mm-hmm. Well, you told me that you didn't think you'd celebrate like that because you had already defeated Oldham three times this season. So obviously you were pretty confident going into the match that you were going to win again, right?
Yeah, you know, I had, like you said, I'd beaten him three times that year. And each match, you know, they were pretty close, but, you know, I felt I'd been in control every match. You know, it'd been hard to score. A lot of points kind of break open the score like I really wanted to this year. But that's props to Nick and how tough of a wrestler he is and how good a position he stays in. And, yeah, I mean, I was pretty confident going in.
Now, did you do anything special to celebrate later on, or did you just have to get home through the snow too?
Yeah, we had to get home through the snow. You know, all my family was in town, so, and we ended up going out to eat with the Andersons and a couple of the coaches. So, yeah, that's really about all we did.
All right. Well, I saw a photo of you and Nick Oldham on Twitter later, and I've seen some of his posts throughout the season. You know, I don't know if you would call it a friendly rivalry or not, but he seems to be a really classy kid, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a really nice kid, really classy, very humble. You know, we both go to the same club, so, you know, we look at it as every time we wrestle, we're getting each other better. You know, we go out there, we try to have fun, we try to put on a show, and, you know, we both want to win, and it just happened that, you know, I came out on top all four times this year.
Now, before the season, you were named to the Iowa 8 by the Des Moines Register. That's a list of the state's top 8 wrestlers, regardless of class. Now, even though Oldham was a returning state champ, you know, he didn't make that list. You know, what was your reaction to making that list? Do you think that kind of put a bullseye on you?
You know, I was kind of surprised that I made it. You know, I really hadn't really done anything. I didn't even win a state title last year. I think a lot had to play into what I did over the summer and making it to the Fargo finals. But, you know, I was kind of surprised when that came out and I was on there. But, you know, I don't think it really changed anything with me or the perception of me.
Sure. Well, like Coach mentioned, your only loss this season came to Lisbon's Cale Happel. He was the eventual Class 1A champ at 132 pounds. And Happel is now a three-time state champ with a chance to be a four-time champ. You know, what makes him so good?
You know, he's a goer. He's strong. He stays in good position. He just comes at you. And, I didn't really have an answer for him at that time. Just went out there. I got the first takedown, but then in the second period, you know, he just starts to wear on you, and he got a couple easy takedowns on me in that second period, and it kind of sealed the match then.
Sure. Well, now you have a chance to eventually become a three-time champion, and that's got to be the goal, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the goal. You know, take it one step at a time. Hopefully next year I'll get my second, and then we can look on to that third one my
sure.
senior year.
Well, you went from 113 pounds last year to 126 this year. You know, where do you think you'll be wrestling, you know, at next year? Maybe 138?
You know, that I do plan on growing. You know, I want to let my body grow. I don't want to, you know, stay small or, you know, go down weights but I definitely look to grow this next coming year.
Just,
I don't know.
Just whatever comes naturally, right?
Yep, whatever comes. So could be 138, could be 45. I don't really know yet.
Sure. We've had a chance for the last 2 years to be teammates with your brother, Cole, who was also a state qualifier this year. What has that been like for you to be a part of the same team with Cole?
It's been awesome. You know, he's my brother, and, you know, he's fought through a lot of things and mentally as a wrestler, and from where he's came as a young kid and middle schooler to where he is now is unbelievable. You know, it's just been awesome to have. He's my biggest supporter, and I try and be his biggest supporter. And I love the kid, and it kind of sucked to see him fall short, because I know he was capable of being on the podium at state, but, you know, it was just fun to be with him and be a part of a team with him.
Well, like you mentioned, you know, he didn't have the kind of success in state that I'm sure he was hoping to. You know, what was going through your mind, you know, after he lost his last match and, you know, his career was over?
Yeah, I was super sad for him. I really wanted to see him do well. He gets super nervous and anxiety, and for him to get down there and fight through that and go out there and wrestle. I mean, he wrestled really good, and he just got caught a couple times, which sucked, but, you know, he fought through a lot, and to make it down there and to have that opportunity, it was awesome for him. And yeah, it was fun to be a part of and fun to watch him.
Now, is that going to be a big adjustment for you next year when he's gone?
Yeah, you know, it'll be tough. I don't know how much it'll change, but it'll just be different not having him there with me, and you know, I'll be around different people, but, you know, it probably won't change a lot.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach about how much wrestling talent there is between the two Ankeny schools. In the quarterfinals, you defeated Centennial's Noah Bluebaugh in what was the first ever meeting between the two schools at the state tournament, and you told me afterwards that it kind of sucked that you guys had to wrestle each other, but don't you think that this is going to start happening more frequently than, you know, the way both programs are trending upward right now?
Definitely, yep. We showed it this year. We each got five or more qualifiers, and so I plan that those numbers will just keep rising and rising as the years go on and the more kids we have come up. So yeah, we'll probably definitely start seeing more and more Ankeny versus Ankeny matches at the state tournament.
Well, Centennial has certainly had the upper hand in the wrestling rivalry up to this point, but don't you feel like you guys are, you know, kind of put yourselves on the map now for the state tournament that you just had?
Definitely. Yep. I think we definitely got noticed this year, with all the talent that we've had and with all the returning talent that we have. Next year, we'll definitely probably see a lot more like we did this year.
Well, I imagine you'll be wrestling a lot in the off season. You know, if you could go to Fargo and win a national championship this year, how do you think that would compare to winning a state title?
You know, that would be good. It would probably, I don't know. I've been on the stage last year, and it doesn't compare to the state tournament as much as you would think it does. You know, the electricity and atmosphere at Wells Fargo when it's sold out and there's thousands of people there. It's just, it's different than, you know, being at the Fargo Dome. There's not as many people there. There's other matches going on. Sure. But I mean, it would definitely, it's definitely a goal of mine. I definitely want to go out there and do that over the summer, but yeah.
All right. Well, the last thing I want to ask you about it, you know, is where you stand with your recruiting. You know, do you have any offers at this point? You know, have you looked at any schools?
I've heard from different schools. It's still really early in the recruiting process. The rules are kind of set to, it's very limited at this point until my junior year. That's when really recruitment opens up a lot more.
Sure.
So not a whole lot right now, but probably in the next half a year to a year or so, we'll probably know more.
Well, I know Nick Oldham just recently committed to Ohio State, so obviously, you know, you could wait to make a decision, you know, until your senior year if you wanted to. You know, do you have any timetable for when you'd like to make a decision, or are you just going to kind of let it play out?
I'm probably just going to let it play out. I don't really have any rush to commit to any college or really timetable of when I need to do it or when I don't. So I'm just going to kind of let it happen.
All right. Well, I know you played football last fall for the Hawks. So I'll ask you the same question that I asked Trevor about his other sport. You know, do you plan to continue to play both sports, or do you think at some point you may have to focus just on the wrestling?
I definitely do plan on playing both sports. I really enjoy playing football. You know, as a kid, that was probably my favorite sport, even though I was probably better at wrestling. I really love football. I love watching it. I love playing it, even though, you know, I'm a little undersized. I still love that sport a lot.
Well, of course, wrestling is such an intense sport. You know, do you think it helps you guys maybe to take a little bit of break from the sport, you know, to play those other sports?
Yeah, it definitely is a nice break from wrestling. Just a different sport, different atmosphere, being around different people. It's a nice break, yeah.
All right, Caleb. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today, Ankeny wrestling coach Jack Wignall and his two state champion wrestlers, Trevor Anderson and Caleb Rachi. Really appreciate their time. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll probably be talking a lot of girls basketball next week.